Welcome back to more San Diego Comic-Con interviews. This time we're talking to the cast of Torchwood Miracle Day. And the interviews include Bill Pullman, who is Oswald Danes, Alexa Havens, who plays Esther Drummond, Mekhi Phifer, who plays Rex Matheson, Jane Epsonson, who is the writer of about half the episodes of Torchwood this season, Eve Miles, who plays Gwen Cooper, and of course, John Barrowman, who plays Jack Harkness.
I just wanted to say, I mean, just watching Torchwood is, I mean, you've done some great characters. Well, at least Spaceball's out. But,
Because that's in a league of its own, I believe. Yes.
But you know what? I love this character you're doing on Torchwood. It's just, you forget about both Bill Pullman like in the first 30 seconds. And you're just drawn in by this guy. He's like my favorite character, actually.
Oh, so, good. I mean, don't tell John.
Yeah, I won't tell John.
You need him to be John.
I mean, what did you have to do to prepare for that? What was it like? Was there any inspiration you got on how you created this character?
Well, you know, the easy part of it is that there's so much information. I mean, it's kind of far. Nowadays, there's quite a bit of literature about different aspects of it. You know, because the story is not one type of guy. You know, he is a convicted murderer, pedophile, so there's a certain pattern of behavior that's you can identify in literature and things like that. There's a book written in the 40s called The Mask of Sanity by Hervey Glecky, who was one of the first ones, and I had read it because I was in The Killer Inside Me, novel, and I think that period of real pathological behavior was identified in a vivid way that I find more recent writings to kind of be clinical and apologetic or something like that, and distancing from who we are as people. So they don't, in the 50s, I thought what was Jim Thompson's take, which is extraordinary, written in first person, you get a lot about what it is to be a hunter or gatherer, and they're usually two types. They're different kind of subsets, but then you can watch on YouTube now. You can see everybody who's ever been convicted that ever got in front of cameras.
You have a lot of inspiration. You got to be careful what you check out of the library, though. They're gonna flag you.
Yes. Funny, I did think about that. I thought, geez, where is that software that scrambles? Yeah. I bet you Oswald Danes would have that on his computer,
That's the only reason why I have an officer.
Yeah,
preparing for this role.
Yeah.
I have a quick question, which is the way you're playing Oswald Danes, there's like a verbal kind of affectation to his speech, and kind of he moves a little differently. Like, where did you get that from? Like, where's that? It's an interesting touch.
Easy answer to that, but I have to go to a therapist probably to find out exactly why, and that costs more money than I have. So, but I did find it as just interesting to feel the syntax of Oswald is different than the other characters, and there's a way in which Russell and I really were. He is an extraordinary guy in terms of collaboration, and you're always kind of doing scenes, and after dailies he's texting you thumbs up, good job. If there's things that bug, are you taking off? So good to see you, Dustin. All right. Well, I'm getting your number. We're going to get you on a horse and then again. I think that he is, and then you can feel that a lot of the syntax is actually British. And so, but that works for Oswald. There's, because he's a teacher, school teacher, and that's always part of it. So there's a certain kind of, I think, just the language informed a lot of choices. Things happen. I don't know.
It was very creepy and very interesting.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
It's quite rare for a British show to come to America and then put to this kind of note. Like, what's the biggest difference with working with a British cast and a fully American cast?
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I've always, you know, I had a love for the BBC. I just feel that it was a standard of excellence in a time when television didn't have enough. And I always felt like they had some of the most intelligent, creative people. I saw things on there that I have stuck with me all my life, and I can't find them now. I remember, what about this thing called The Farm? The BBC did that in the 80s. And I, you know, and so to work for BBC, and then they handled the international side, so we went to England, to London and to Swansea, Wales to promote it. And you know, you don't get the cars the way you do in American productions.
Yeah,
you don't get the perks.
Right, I was going to ask you about the budgets are quite different, so
yeah,
that's a lot. It's a departure from what you've been doing.
Well, we're with Starz, there's a big infusion of cash over.
Right, but I'm saying BBC, they're not used to
BBC,
having that.
BBC, they don't like to have a lot of splash.
Right.
They don't like you to, you know, look like you're spending the state's, the citizens'
right.
money. So there is a very,
yeah, yeah,
it's a
point.
Nice, I like the aesthetic, though. I think they've evolved
right.
to doing it without all that excess, you know.
So let me ask
waste.
You this. What drew you to this role? Because you're a guy that has a very magnificent, largesse feature film personality. And, you know, here you are doing, you know, Starz, which is a paid subscription television show, where it's migrated from the BBC, where they kind of like are able to have more creative freedoms than, let's say, an American network. How do you feel about that kind of transition?
Well, if I can, I'm not that I'm sounding critical of what you're saying,
right.
but I do feel like that was an older modality.
Really?
That I think in some ways, it's been interesting to watch what BBC has had to be
right.
careful of, whereas Starz doesn't have to be careful.
Right.
And
yeah.
that, you know, in a way, all of that's flopped in some ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's violence and there's sex, and those are the most potent things. And, you know, now there's the new normal, which is television is attracting some extremely great talents that there's, you know, ways where I think all the tentpole movies are family experiences, so people go to the theaters to have family experiences and they stay at home to have private disturbing feelings about what they're watching.
So you're saying,
and
it's
that's
not that Independence kind of day popcorn moment kind of thing. People are not like headed towards that.
This series though has incredible ambition to gather a big crowd, you know, and that with being true to itself, so it's taking risk, I think. You know, I think it's there's a side of Russell and everybody that wants to make something that has the pop and flourish, and then the spook. I think of him as like Goosebumps guy.
Whoa.
And he does it with great economy. You know, there's an elegance to the way he's looking. And it's not just Goosebumps, oh, this is a, you know, weird half-dead insect that's crawling towards me. It's, you know, it's two people talking to each other in a way that gives you goosebumps, you know? And I think he's an old classic kind of storyteller in that way. He's got special skills.
He's brilliant.
Did you go back and watch any of his other work when, you know, when you got cast? And...
Yes, which I thought, you know, it's the Queer as Folk series, which was so different than the American series. And it was curious that in some ways, I would have not predicted the differences, because in a way, the American was cooler and kind of more sleek and somewhat removed, and the British one with Russell was vibrant colors, a lot more kind of juice to it, I felt. And you would have thought, oh, the British would be restrained and somewhat distant and colder, but it was warmer. And I don't know, maybe he's an anomaly. When you look at, we went to Wales, man, that Port Talbot, where those actors came out of, that's a bleak place. And like, you know, Richard Burton, Anthony Hopkins, Michael Sheen, all came out of this really hard luck town. And Russell comes out of Swansea, another hard luck town. And he's like the anomaly. He's vibrant. He's owning his own, he's got some, he doesn't have that, but he has a great, great storytelling ability. Yeah.
Now, is there anything that you can tell us in terms of some cool surprises with respect to maybe like Doctor Who crossovers?
Why do you ask that question? Do I look like the sucker? Look, we can't get anybody else to say it. Look at Coleman. He's so new. He's the newbie. Yes. People, there is a huge mechanical hand that comes around this corner, grabs my head, tears it off in mid-sentence. So, God damn you.
Nothing, like not even an inch, like a little hair.
Oh,
well, a hair. Just here's a little hair.
There's, when you talk about Independence Day, and there is a, there's a Janus face moment. You'd say, wow, that's the exact flip of what happened to him in
Independence Day. And I feel the same way about her, the strength of Gwen, and she paved the way for to actually have strong characters that aren't just behind the scenes. And
think about Amanda Tapping. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So she's now coming to the U.S. So she's yet another kind of Amanda Tapping, paving the way for women in science fiction.
And I think the writers write well. That's why I said Russell writes women as equally well, if not better than men, and it's we were just handed this silver platter of fabulous material.
Esther is a fantastic character, seriously. She's my favorite character on Miracle Day so far.
That means a lot.
Coming in, she feels the most Torchwood to me. She's sort of almost a little lost at the beginning, but so ambitious and trying to figure things out, and you still do.
There's that innocence, and I love that parallel that they gave, not this is Gwen too, because I'm not even trying to have Esther be her, and she's not. They're so different in their own self, but it is true. She has this really innocence, this bright-eyed, and she really is. It's the curiosity, I think, that makes a good Torchwood team member, because you're exploring the otherworldly and making sense of things that don't make sense. And if she just said, oh yes, okay, of course that's aliens and that's this, and of course that's what makes her, it's endearing to see her go, well, what are you talking, Captain, who's this guy, is he good, is he bad, and I think she's experiencing it properly as the new audience members experiencing it, so I think it's a neat, being the, I would say I'm the American tour guy.
The chat could have been a little bit nicer when he first meets her.
Right?
I mean, she's looking at the thing, and there's this tall man.
Scares the crap out of me.
Exactly. And then he's charming. Hey, Captain Jack Harkness. Come on, dude.
Exactly. First, you have to chase me when I'm wearing 6-inch heels and tackle me out of the window, and then you snuggle me. Yeah. Why don't you just come up and say, "Hey, thing." What you doing later on? Let's snuggle in my coat.
What's the running joke you guys have going on, where neither you nor Rex's character believe that when Jack keeps talking about he's immortal, he keeps saying he's 200 years old, and he keeps making these random comments about how old he is, and you both are, you're not serious, but I would think after a while, that he'd be like, what are you talking about?
And then you start seeing that episode 3, he says, where'd you get that distant moon of a distant star? And we're like, and you'll see, I think actually episode 4, Esther addresses that, so there's a little something for you. But he literally says something, and it's like, what are you talking? It's literally like, what do you keep saying that? Why are you, she's really curious, and they have this quick friendship, and she's wanting to know, what are you talking about? And eventually, the truth does come out of what he is. But I think I like those little sprinklings for the audience, because you guys know, and you're like, haha, we know what he's talking about.
Right.
But it's nice seeing somebody that doesn't go, what? Okay, and this makes him sound like Looney Tunes guy.
Crazy. Your character has seen the photo, and you're like, oh, is this your grandfather? He goes, it must be.
Must be.
Yeah, he doesn't, but he says it in such a snarky kind of way.
Must be. And it's like, okay, smartass. No, and I think it's a way of him not committing one way or the other, because ultimately he sees like there's a bigger task at hand. But it continues to sprinkle through, and it's not like it's not revealed right out the gate. So of who he is and what he, where he's been and the life he's lived.
So how's it been for you jumping into Torchwood? I mean, it's, the first three series were huge, right? I mean, the UK and stuff.
No,
here, but,
huge.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Huge to those in the know. It really is. I mean, the UK, a whole nother story, and here, the people that do know. I have, like, people coming up, like, it's so strange. Like, every generation, young, old, male, Torchwood. Sweet. Well, like, welcome to Torchwood. It's like, I feel like I'm on a covert mission at the grocery store, and it's like, hey, good job. We're so, like, welcome to our world. I'm like, yeah, I feel like I'm in this secret society that I got the, you know, the key to enter and to be a part. And it's so, this is like, gives the definition of what fans are. It's like, they know the show, they love the show. And from my standpoint, it's humbling, because to be a part of something that's so huge, and I want to honor it the best I can, and that's, you know, just worked hard and brought what I could to Esther, and I hope that you guys all respond.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
It's fun.
What do you have you watched, like, Doctor Who and the Torchwood before, and what did you think of it?
You know, I haven't done Doctor Who, because that's an investment.
Yes.
It's an investment in time.
Yeah. Only from 63. It's not a big deal.
I've got a couple days to kill. I'll get caught up.
At least watch John's episode.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. Or at least start with, like, Russell, where Russell came in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
the best. That's the next plan. Where I think we worked our way back, because I've told many people, but not to repeat myself, my husband's a fan of Torchwood. So he,
nice.
When this came around, I had known, I knew the vibe of the show. I kind of knew from the sides, like, where they were going. You know, you can't make it too serious, because it's Torchwood. It's still fun at the end of the day. And I think that helps me breathe life and understand who Esther needed to be. But my husband, I am the wife of the year for getting this job.
Of course you are. He's like, I am not worthy.
Visits on set.
Oh, cute.
Yes, he's come to set, and it's he's fine there. But I make sure it's not big spoiler days, because he wants to experience it as you do.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding,
because
he'll say, I don't want to know, and then I'll come home and be like, blood on my hands and my hair is all frazzled, and go, what happened? Is it Captain Jack? Because he's immortal, right? Wait, is it him? Is it his blood? Like, if it is, I could sell it on the thing. No, so I kind of, like, kept the big secrets locked away. But
Jack's wristband goes missing. Everyone's looking at you.
Exactly. Like, sorry. But Eve's fiance is really into it as well. So it's kind of fun watching the two of them.
I'm having fun with it.
Adorable.
I'm having a good time.
You do such an awesome job.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. You know what? Because your personality is just so, yo, it's there.
I appreciate
Brilliant.
That. No, that's the fun thing about playing a character like Rex. It's like, you know, there's no one way he's going to be. He's unpredictable, unorthodox, very hard-edged, obviously.
That's what I like about what you do, because you take that unpredictability thing, mm-hmm. and you just, like, make it so freaking real.
I appreciate that.
Man, I love it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Kudos. I appreciate it.
Nice. Really, you have nice put the American in the Torchwood. I mean, Torchwood's from America, but your character really, like, is it as far as that goes.
Yeah,
I
have
to feel like you are, like, the symbol, you know, standing out of that.
It's great. I mean, you know, Russell and Julie were wonderful in sort of conveying what they wanted and what they, you know, what they wanted of me, which I was more than happy to oblige. And it is an honor to be a part of a show as successful as Torchwood, sort of be part of the American face of it all, because it is sort of a juxtaposed position, because on one hand, it comes with a fan base, you're really happy about that, you know, people are going to watch, but at the same time, it's a little nerve-wracking, because you know that, you know, people are going to be scrutinizing, you know, your character, and what it is that you're bringing to the table. So so we had to just jump in feet first.
Yeah.
Or head first.
Chest first.
Chest first. Are you ever gonna let Captain Jack run Torchwood or what?
Where did this question go?
What are you doing with this?
Run Torchwood. Run Torchwood.
Run Torchwood. I mean, Torchwood is them, you know, and I actually become a part of their thing, know what I mean? And then obviously I bring my expertise of the CIA and all my field work and international sort of affairs and all that kind of stuff to the table. And obviously, you know, because you want to have some place to go with the show, we sort of butt heads in the beginning, you know, and I butt heads with them, especially in the beginning, because I just think they're a band of misfits. I don't like this guy in his flying ace jacket and this woman with the baby shooting things. You know, I'm like, who are these crazy people? But as it turns out, they obviously are extremely knowledgeable and extremely gifted. And then I learned a lot from Jack and Gwen as they learned from me.
And I'll be honest, how was it shooting in Wales?
It was cold. It was cold. But everything else was great. I mean, the people were great. It was just really cold. And that's really the main thing. It was really cold.
Did
we were in the dead of winter.
Headspace a little bit?
Not really. I mean, you know, they took care of us. I mean, you got the big jackets. And then when they yell action, it was like, you know, we're
off to the races.
So you kind of get the adrenaline rush of it all. But then when they yell cut, then the adrenaline goes away. You're just cold again. So, you know, that was fun. It was a great experience. My first time shooting in Britain, so it was a lot of fun.
As an American, how did you feel amongst these other, you know, sort of, you know, actors and their accents and the whole, you know, culture kind of vibe?
Well, yeah, the culture was fine. I mean, and plus, you know, John and Eve were wonderful people. I mean, they welcomed you with open arms. So, it was fun. You just hear different slangs and things like that, but it's all the same, and we all people. And as you travel more, you find that you have more alike than different. And they're just wonderful. So it was a lot of fun.
How much? I've seen up to episode 5. So I've seen your big dramatic scene that you were hinting at in the panel. How did you kind of like? That was a fantastic scene, by the way.
Okay.
And
thank
it
you.
Really changed. It kind of like flips kind of how you see the character. I'm trying not to give spoilers.
Right.
But how did you approach that scene?
Kind of with kids' gloves in a way, because you can things like that can go either way. It's like walking a fine line. It can go over the top or not enough. And I kind of wanted to just touch in the middle of it and not give out all of what the character's motivations are and what he's been through and where he's going, but just enough so that it takes you to the next place, so that you want to keep sort of watching what's going to happen next with this guy, what's his thing, what makes him tick, and that's basically how I approach that particular segment.
All right, I'm going to ask you another question. What about Doctor Who, what's going on with any kind of Doctor Who?
I would love it. I mean,
come on, give me a little crossover stuff.
I mean, I wish I could.
He's not here. No one will catch
him. I wish I could. I mean, that's more of a Jane question. I mean,
a little baby piece. You got to know something.
I would love to be able to help you with that. believe me. But really, I would love, because Doctor Who is such an iconic show.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
It would be great to sort of mesh the both worlds and do the whole thing. I mean, and it's such a great show that, you know, I would love to be a part of it.
Because that would, like, really kick up notches unknown, both shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're dealing in Starz world now.
Absolutely.
Right? You see what
absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely. And Starz is that's definitely stepped it up a notch.
That's what I'm saying. They stepped up the budget. They stepped up the whole presence.
Absolutely.
So it would be really cool if, like, Matt Smith came in and tried to help out the people, you know, the situation you got going
right.
on there.
Or
right
Torchwood had to go to Doctor Who and see what's going on.
Exactly.
How much have you immersed yourself in the universe of the Doctor Who Torchwood universe before coming into Torchwood yourself?
Well, to be quite honest, I knew about Doctor Who, but I never really watched the show. When Torchwood first came across my desk, what they also gave me was Children of Earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
yeah.
whole season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great season.
Awesome.
So I watched it all in one sitting on a Sunday. I figured I'd watch an episode and then go out and maybe play some ball or something. And I sat there the whole 5 hours or whatever and just sat there like, holy shit, with a couple of beers. And I said, I really have to be a part of this. I mean, I knew that they were... And then I sat with Russell and Julie and they told me what their whole plan was for the season and what they had in mind, and I just got more and more excited.
Yeah.
And the next thing you knew, we were in Wales.
Wow, killer.
Yeah.
This is the last question she just said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know what? You rock.
Ah, likewise. Yay. I appreciate that love. Thank you.
Really, good
Thank
luck.
You guys. Thank you guys.
Because you really bring a lot of flavor and, you know,
Thank you.
That's really, you know, a filmmaker too besides uh-huh. journalists, and it's so important to have that
right.
special character in the mix.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That person that changes the dynamics of the whole team.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stir it up.
Anything you haven't written for yet that you want to?
Oh, what a great question.
Besides Dr. Who?
When will Freck and Lee give me a call? If Marty's there now, maybe they'll give me a call. I when that show is on, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So, I'd love to do that.
Would you write for Sue, though? Would you let them, you know, write for Sue stuff?
Oh, I would try my hand at some Sue Sylvester lines. I think I can handle that.
How does it feel to go from the cracking universe of Cylons
yeah.
to this whole new experience? I don't know how to say it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's they're both sci-fi. In a way, they're both sort of hard sci-fi, time travel and
right.
spaceships and things.
Right.
So that felt very seamless. But the tone is different. But I felt like I was coming home again because the tone is more like Buffy.
Yeah.
So to write the mixture of humor and horror felt very familiar to me. And it felt good to be able to write that much funny again. I like, I loved Battlestar. That was one of my happiest writing experiences ever. But the jokes were so, you had to, you got very few jokes, or it would start to not feel real. And the show lets you be a little more humor, even though it gets darker in places than Battlestar ever was. But
wow.
the way Russell blends the tones, you can actually get both.
How do you do it where you, I mean, you're like amazing at being so dark, but being so funny at the same time. I mean, watching Game of Thrones, I'm just waiting for something funny to happen. You know? It's Jane.
And then there's Tyrion, so you have
yeah.
a chance.
How do you mix that? How do you get that to work so well?
I think it's because I came out of sitcoms, so I spent the first 5 seasons of my writing career going, everything has to be a joke. Every line has to have a joke in it. And then Joss actually had to teach me to stop doing that. I wrote the episode...
He told you now.
Yeah, I wrote the episode Gingerbread, where there were like dead kids in the backstory. And I was like... I'm going to have to make this funny. Let's see what I can do. And Joss was like, what the? Every line's a joke about dead children. And so he said, like, you can be entertaining in other ways. And so he taught me to pull it back. But from that point on, like, my natural inclination to put jokes in has been balanced by the horror of the story. So that's just what I've always done.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think you said that, like, the return of Doctor Who and Torchwood couldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Buffy. Because Buffy wow. is obviously a huge influence on Russell T. Davies.
Right.
You know, and now you're working with Russell T. Davies, and, like, and the world didn't explode to you coming together. So... Were you a fan of his work before? Did you watch Doctor Who, watch Torchwood?
Yeah, I was already a Doctor Who fan. I was already a Torchwood fan. Doctor Who, I really hadn't gotten into really at all. And I've still only seen a select few of, like, the best Doctor Who. I need to do that, but I'm...
I can make you a list.
Yeah, you need a Doctor Who script, just like the writing script.
I guess I should. But yeah, I was a huge fan of Torchwood, and because I recognized this tone that I know and love, that it felt like Buffy, and that you can't keep me away from that.
No.
Yeah. Now I have a great question just pop into my head. There's a sex scene that was supposedly cut out.
No.
Is that just a rumor?
I believe that's a rumor.
Yeah.
What I was told was that they cut tiny, they shaved tiny amounts off of a couple different scenes. That resulted in like a 10-second loss, but it wasn't. But no full scene was lost.
Yeah, so. Because you know the beauty of the Doors is being able to have that creative experience. Has that influenced you as well, right? Because we can be more creative on Stars.
You can certainly be sexier on Stars.
Yeah,
and that's always fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was wonderful to write, knowing that. And BBC also lets you be very creative and sexier than and have more swear words than you do in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I love any sort of freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Starz also is just a place. It's a quality place. It's got that good reputation, and so they work hard to make quality products.
Right. So when I spoke with the fellow, the vice president of programming, Carmi,
Yeah,
I had breakfast with him this morning, and you know, we kind of asked him, like, what's the most important thing? Why did he sign Torchwood? And he said that it wasn't like the science fiction or anything like that. It was the, I wouldn't say mythology, but something higher than that, that has a higher meaning for humanity.
Right.
Do you know what he was saying by that?
Yes, I know what he was saying. Science fiction, well, all stories should be about something. Science fiction, I think, most consistently accomplishes that. Because it has always been sort of built into science fiction that it has a point. A show about a family doesn't necessarily set out going, what are we trying to say about families? They should, but they don't always do it. A science fiction show sort of doesn't get going unless it's saying, what are we saying about humanity, about our moral core? I mean, this is a show about how solid is humanity's moral core. When you start messing with life and death, how long does it take before the moral core becomes secondary to just survive? So
that's what he was saying, right?
I think that's what he was saying.
Okay.
Was that this is a show that has taken seriously the notion of asking why? Why are we telling this story? What is it saying about the world and people? And you can do that in sci-fi. You can do it outside of sci-fi. So I'm sure it wasn't that it was sci-fi that attracted him, but I think it blends together well. Oh my God, that was long-winded and
hard to follow.
I can start over if you want to hear that more concisely.
No. That was great.
Thank you.
What is the one thing that you're looking forward to your fans seeing of the episodes that you have upcoming? Not in detail, obviously.
Right.
A tease of something that's coming up that you're like, you can't wait for them to see it and see how they react.
Well, you know that conversation that was in the episode that was screened last night, episode 3, and there was the middle of the night conversation between Jack and Gwen.
Oh, that broke my heart.
I love that. I was so happy that it got on the air, but it got interrupted. What would they have talked about if Jack and Gwen had a heart-to-heart that lasted a whole episode and they really get into it?
Wow.
Really?
I'm just saying that there's some Jack-Gwen conversation coming up that I'm really proud of, that I think lays out their whole relationship in the starkest and yet subtlest hues, because I kept writing it and Russell kept saying, go deeper, and he just kept sending me up to keep writing it, and it got to a place that I can't believe it got there. I'm so proud of it.
Sounds like the conversation they've been needing to have for a long time, and Russell made you write it.
Russell let me get my hands in that conversation.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome is so the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And I noticed you're wearing a bun for husbands.
I am.
Are you excited about this?
I'm so excited about husbands. Yes, husbands is my new web series, and it's a marriage equality comedy. It's mad about you if they're both boys. So excited about it, and I've been giving out wedding invitations. That's been my giveaway here at the convention.
Cool. Can you totally sell it to us, or
yes,
plug it, please.
It sounds awesome already.
Yeah, it's the notion is that like a famous outrageous actor and a famous pretty straight-laced baseball player are in Vegas celebrating new marriage equality law, and they wake up married, and they've been going out for 6 weeks.
And they what? They just cut you off.
They've only been going out for 6 weeks, and now they're like, well, we don't want to be the first high-profile divorce.
Oh my God!
So what
serious?
Are we gonna do? We have to give this a go.
I love that.
That
is so
great.
Yeah.
We're looking at a September launch date.
Awesome.
September. Oh my
you.
God, that's gonna be killer.
We're shooting the first 2 weeks in August, which is like 2 weeks from now.
Now, where are you shooting at? In the U.S. or Canada?
L.A.
L.A.
it's almost like guerrilla filmmaking. It's two little
That's
cameras.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Cheeks, the internet star, and Sean Hemian, who is a newcomer who we found, and Alessandra Torresani, Zoe from Caprica.
Awesome.
Yeah.
She'd be great in there too.
She's amazing. That girl has comic chops. yes, comedic abilities.
Yeah,
she is.
She's a sweet girl.
She's a sweet girl.
Very sweet girl.
Yeah, she's here in this hotel, right?
Yeah, she's adorable.
But she's Betty Hutton. She's that. She's a plastic screwball comedy heroine. Yeah.
How do you keep them proper, you know, whale style, all these, you know, Americans?
God.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
They come and invade you guys and take over Wales.
They've been incredible. It's just been...
Really?
Yes. It's just been so lovely to have.
Are they learning any proper manners?
Oh,
Americans.
These guys are. These guys
awesome.
Are.
Really?
And I simply can't talk highly enough about them, actually. They're just lovely.
That's
and,
awesome.
I'm glad they've taken us on board and my little Welsh accent.
How do you feel about working in a, you know, a show that was, you know, it's BBC and now it's an American-based thing? How does that...
I think that it was a big jump. It was a big change, but, you know, primarily we were, I think it was BBC America's number one show for a couple of years. So somewhere along the line we were doing something right over here, and we knew that there was a real strong fan base. And we thought, well, it's either going to work or it's not, but balls to it, we're going to give it a go. You know, let's go out and try and make the best program that we've made yet. And by doing so, we needed stars to back us up and to work with us, because we've got such a fabulous story to tell, and they've been awesome. So it was a big change, but change is good.
Yeah.
Now it's change for the better.
Taking over America. I mean, I was watching cable, and I was watching on demand, and there is Eve Miles promoting Torchwood for Stars on the, you know, being interviewed by someone on Comcast, which is my cable company. I'm like,
so strange,
it's,
right?
It is so fantastic.
So
you know, I mean, being a huge fan of the show.
Else. I think they
hijacked you. Are you from another dimension?
Yeah. I'm like, I was so brave back then.
What is the most exciting thing that's happened to your character this season that you can't wait for us to see?
Juicy one. She has great questions, this girl.
I really...
Just... No spoilers.
No, we want the spoilers.
Just some.
Don't listen to her. Yeah, we
just
want to hear
that.
We won't tell anybody.
Yeah, we're not going to tell anyone.
I mean... Okay, I have to go back to the... Oh, what am I...
How about episode 3?
Shut
you
up.
And Jack.
Shut up!
Episode 3 with you and Jack.
You're going to see the long arm of Julie Gardner reaching in any moment. Yeah.
Oh, that's you can
just hint at it. That's all I'm saying.
Put it like this. Gwen Cooper has to make the biggest decision of her life this season. And it's absolutely massive. And it's exhilarating. And so complicated and brilliant. And just... I was going to
say, you're getting emotional now just talking about it.
It's, but there's a handful of stuff. I mean, this doesn't stay on us. This does this, right? And call me up there doing punching, fighting, blowing something up. You know, or there's so much to come. I mean, the stuff that happens... The thread that runs through 1 to 10 this year, there's a huge Welsh thread, and Gwen gets pulled back, right, for a while. And things start to unravel, but what she discovers, or what you guys will discover, is horrific.
Oh my God.
Horrific.
Really?
So, shut up!
So there's more to come. The show already has been incredibly iconic. You holding the baby, shooting the gun.
That's what you're saying.
I mean, that is going to go down in history as one of the most iconic images out of the show ever.
Yeah. And that is the cutest baby we've seen.
Is there a story there? Like, what was going on? Like, how did you...
Cutest baby
ever. Yeah, yeah.
As a mom, I love it.
Two little boys, two twins. Can you imagine on their 18th birthday?
Yes.
Look at you. Look at your mother with a gun shooting a helicopter.
Yeah.
What fun. What great fun. I read it and it went, Gwen, hero shot. Walks literally, I was like, rocket, Right, so, come to Gwen, hero shot, walks out of door, gun pointed at helicopter, baby in left arm, and shoots the shit out of it.
Okay. You don't get things like that to pay ever.
It's just one of those. It's one of those distinctly Torchwood moments, right? I mean,
it's
like
over
it
the top.
Exactly.
So over the
exactly.
top.
Yeah.
So over the top. I bloody love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just those moments where you just go, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. And there's more. And there's more.
And there's more to come.
Yeah. I'm about to shoot. I'm about to shoot a helicopter out of the sky on the back of a jeep with a bazooka. You know. So it is. It's over the top. But you've got to grip it to some sort of reality, and you've got to go with it, and you've just got to, you know, you can't mess about with those kind of things, because it took an age actually to shoot that scene, because you can't shoot a firearm when you're holding a baby.
Right. Really?
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Wait, so you had to fake that somehow? No, come on.
Yeah. So it took days.
And America's going to, like, you know,
yeah.
You have to be really careful.
Yeah.
With stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not the parents would really
exactly.
Yeah.
My mom
really
loved it. He loved it.
Yeah, I thought it's a good
story. Mom's cheering.
Mama's going to.
It's something that happens every day, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Fun. Really fun.
It's a what the frack moment. It's like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah,
did she really just do that?
Seriously, that kind of pains into I can't say the word. Insignificance.
All right, let me ask you this. What's the craziest moment you've had so far that you could tell us about? Okay, one more question. The craziest moment you've had, is that it?
Well, look, the helicopter was literally there, right? The helicopter was, and I was going, that's close.
It was
very close. That was odd, but there's it showed in the clip today, so I can talk about it. The bit where I say, literally, we had one goal, we had one shot, and it was in Wales, and the wind was like 80 miles an hour. It was like pinning you to the floor. It was so windy.
What?
And the rain. It was awful. And they'd been setting this up for days to blow up this huge kind of the building that you see that's been blown up. And everybody was so nervous. Everyone was so nervous. Everyone was one shot at it. It was up to me to time it.
Are you serious? Come on. That's crazy. That's crazy. Oh, my God.
I was like, are you having a laugh?
You don't have any kids, do you? Because you would, like, think of that at that moment. It's like, oh, my God,
literally,
my kids.
They were like, you know,
you know what I'm saying?
You feel it. You feel it. And I was going, and I was literally like this. How am I going to feel it? Blown shit up in my life.
Oh my God.
And it hit go on the motorbike and I nailed it. I could have really.
Oh my God. Jane just said this is her favorite table.
Is it?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
We have to make you feel the same way.
Okay, well, you better start doing something.
All right.
There you go.
Here we go.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
Now.
Why,
oh,
shoot.
Welcome.
Shoot, thank you.
Shoot. So here's what I ask you right off the bat. Are you going to dance in this freaking thing or what?
Dance episode.
No. That's no dance.
What talents? Not, you know, get
some
other talents.
I don't think,
talents?
I don't know. No, there'll be no singing and no.
Oh,
for
crap.
No, nothing.
No.
Nothing.
I think Captain Jack can sing too.
Well, I think he probably can too. Maybe Russell will put me in a karaoke.
Come on, no. That'd be funny.
But, like, we have a karaoke night. But again, if we did that, I couldn't sing seriously. I'd have to be silly about it because
really?
It just no, it wouldn't feel right.
Really?
It wouldn't feel right. Just let me fuck. Don't let me sing.
Yes.
I'd much rather do that. Okay. Wouldn't you rather do that?
Tell
me about it.
Really? Okay, so let me ask you this.
What? 9.5.
That's like centimeters or inches?
Oh. Michael Hyman.
Sorry.
What do you think?
Oh. We're getting dirty here, you know?
Well, I'm
like
gonna fucking make it better
I
than
like
Jane
it.
Did.
Oh my God! You have to say, "Oh my God!"
Oh.
Just worked on Caprica before that. So you have
really?
To say, "Gods."
Okay.
Not
okay.
God, gods. Okay.
All right.
So the question. All right. Question number two. I don't be a hog, guys, but question two.
That's question three, actually.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a freebie.
The stores is a lot of sexual. well, how can I say this?
Shows.
Lenience. Yeah. So, for you playing this role, what can you do to kick this shit up notches unknown? What can you tell us?
Well, put it.
Just give us a strand of hair.
No,
little tiny baby.
I shave. I count. The
can
thing.
We see that?
No. The thing that we do is our sex is for it has to be part of the story. We can't just have gratuitous sex. The one thing that I'm really proud about in this series, and I'll be totally honest with you, you know, the what's on tonight is there's just basically a scene where he goes to fuck, right? Because he's mortal. He has never experienced that kind of the feelings before. He's always been very hard, cold, and you know he can sleep, he can get drunk, he can lay next to someone and really be passionate about it. So he's going out to get laid. But there's episode 5 that's coming up is one where we explore, and it's we explore a past relationship of Jack's where we get and Russell said to Eve and I, this is his gift to us in the writing. We also find out a lot about Jack and Gwen's relationship, and it's not what you think. It's going to go down a path that you didn't think you were going to go down. But this relationship that Jack gets involved in, I'm really proud of it, because if I were a young man growing up and watched a TV series like that, or had a network like Starz that was showing how people actually do have sex and behave,
right?
And not pretending that it doesn't happen.
That's a great point.
I have a relationship with this man, and it's a truly passionate love,
real
relationship. And you see two men making love. I say that because there's the fuck happens in this episode, but the passionate love romantic relationship between two men happens in this one coming up, and it is stunning. And you know, they fall in love and then they make love.
Right. You're getting me fucking hot like right now.
Fabulous. Jeez. Just make sure you wipe the seat when you get up.
Yeah. John, are you happy that this is on Starz? Are you happy this is on Starz and not on Fox, where you can explore stuff like this?
I didn't know. I mean, I knew that Fox were interested, but again, that's not my division.
Right.
Yeah.
But
you wouldn't be able to do most of this.
No, you probably wouldn't. And if we had to have changed our tone, and it wasn't going to be, you know, if they would have changed Jack's omnisexuality or his bisexuality, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have been part of it, because it's important to me. And I don't want to sound like an old-fashioned person saying, you know, we got to move on and move things and, you know, da da da, because American television, to be honest with you, has the most gay characters on it in the world.
Yeah.
They may be stereotypes, but at least we have them there. A lot of places you can't have that. So it's not that case that they're not people are represented like that. But it was really important for us to have to continue this on. And yes, Starz is the place for it. They said to us, we don't want you to change anything. We want this wonderful show that you have, but we just want to make it bigger and better.
That's awesome.
So I'm glad we're there.
With all the romance and, you know, and Jack, like, now having this new experience with sex in general, are the Anto fans going to get a little something? Are you, like,
in
are you worried
way?
About? Well, you know, I mean, there's so many people.
Well, again,
so many people feel like Yanto was Jack's one true, right?
I totally get that, but I have to be honest when I'm asked questions like that, because it's not my decision for things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't really answer that. If they get upset, they get upset.
Totally.
And I understand. But what makes me, what I love about that, is that they have been so hooked in. And that storyline worked so incredibly that they're pissed off about it. I think that's great.
Totally.
But I do want them to come on the journey. I want them to be, you know, they can still be angry. I mean, people are angry that I sacrificed my grandchild.
Yeah.
But they still watch the show.
Yeah.
And you can, and it's great that every so often they'll say, I still miss Yanto. That's fine. I love that, because he is mentioned. We do, and those relationships are what build the character and the stories to where we are now. But this relationship happened before that.
Gotcha.
So it might tell you of how I got to that point.
Gotcha. Well, that's kind of what I was asking, whether there was a mention.
She's getting all goofy now. By the way, good boobs.
Thank you.
Really good boobs.
Thank you.
Everyone likes
you too. You got, yeah.
How about mine?
They're nice.
How has Jack's mortality affected his character? You talked about, like, he's acting kind of like he's 20 years old now.
Yeah.
So how are you playing that differently in your
head?
Well,
I think there's more vulnerability. But see, I say that, and then I look back at the past performances and I watch, but I've always played Jack with a bit of vulnerability, and I think that's what makes him a good hero. But here you have vulnerability with a little bit of fear. because his mortality all of a sudden has made him realize that he could be gone. And then you've got this character now, from if we go back to his immortality, I've already said this because I might have said it at another table, but I apologize if I'm repeating myself. You've all of a sudden got this man who now has been uncomfortable with immortality, and now he's mortal, but which one does he really want? And you find out.
We find out.
You find out.
Okay. Does he get to choose?
Not telling you.
No.
Maybe he doesn't make that decision.
No.
Does he call upon anybody from, let's say,
another dimension? No. Doctor Who would not make an appearance on Torchwood because
Never?
No, because the Doctor Who is a family-based show, and for him to come on to it would be cross-branding that wouldn't
really?
Work. Yeah. Totally.
Really?
I can go back to Doctor Who because my character's very different on Who as to what it is in Torchwood.
Yeah.
And it's
that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's
and it's and also the doc. Yeah, the Doctor. I'd love for him to come on, but
seriously.
I don't think it would be in within what they call the branding or whatever of the shows.
Yeah.
And you and Matt have both said you want Captain Jack back for the 50th anniversary. Matt said it yesterday.
I think it would be great.
It would be.
I think it would be awesome. You know, and if Matt wants it to happen, it's you know, it's his show now. I'm happy to come back. I've always said, you know, I love Doctor Who. I came from that mothership, and I would be proud always to be asked back and to go back. But it's up to, you know, the fans letting them know that they want Jack. Apparently, is one of the most requested characters to come back on
Absolutely.
Doctor Who. So if you guys want it to happen, it's you guys that need to make it happen.
Jack's appearances on Doctor Who are always incredibly special. I mean, it's that special guest star that comes on, you know, and he's
you
the
know,
muscle and he's the
but
humor.
You know why? I think it's because you also know the relationship.
Absolutely.
Jack loves Gwen. It's not a sexual love,
right?
It's a love of the person, the humanity. But the thing about the Doctor is Jack actually goes a little weak-kneed with him.
It's the Doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
He's that.
Yeah, and I think it would be interesting to see you and the chemistry
dynamic
between you and Matt.
Yeah,
you know, we've seen you with Chris.
I think it would be good.
You and Matt would be.
I think it would be really
awesome.
Good.
Yeah,
great.
I'd love. Of course, there would be a crack about how young.
Oh my gosh! Then I would be one of the few because Sarah Jane.
God rest her soul.
Elizabeth. Yeah. She was with three different.
Yep.
Right
yeah.
And
there.
I would be.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really sad. I loved her. She and I, she lived in my apartment in Wales.
Oh.
And she and I, when I met her in the elevator, I was so gobsmacked. And the first day I met her, and then she turned to me and she said, I love Captain Jack. She said, Sarah Jane, although she doesn't agree with the violence, she would love to do something with Captain, you know, to be...
That would be so super.
And you know, it's one of the things I would love to have happened to have... I got to do the Who episodes, but
yeah,
I would love to have gone on Sarah Jane with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. You did get that moment in the TARDIS.
Well, she and I both held hands when Davros came out.
That's right. Yeah.
And both, because I grew up with it, and
she found it
as one of the most frightening ones, you know, and we both looked at each other, and they actually have a shot of it, and you see us, and the fear in our faces is just like two kids.
Loved it. Amazing.
Don't forget, guys, you can catch the video of most of these interviews online at weedonopolis.com.